Man, there's some energy in the room tonight. How do all the rowdy people know when to show up? Let's welcome all of our online campus and all of our other campuses. Awesome to be with you this weekend. You know, I don't know, you know, kind of your background or where you're coming from, but, you know, I grew up in pretty much classical Pentecostal type churches. And so the Holy Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit was not a foreign, you know, not a foreign kind of a topic. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of shifts through the years. I'll just say that, you know, in church and different moves of God, you know, that would come and go. And still through all that I experienced, some of it that, you know, you might agree with or might say it's God, and some of it you might say, well, that wasn't God, or I don't know about the ins and outs of everything I experienced, because I've been in church since I was just a little kid, but always Spirit-filled churches. And through that, through the seasons, seeing the different things that I saw, I will just have to admit to you that I never ever thought about the Holy Spirit being weird or something strange. I just knew that He did wonderful things. And that when He showed up, He would do what Jesus would do if He were physically present. You know, so groups that, like, really, really the Spirit of God was allowed access and freedom, that seemed to be where good stuff was happening. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And it's like other churches growing up, because I could tell this story probably about, I've been in only like three churches. This is the fourth church I've ever belonged to. I had to stop and think about that. So I'm not a church hopper, but they were all Spirit-filled churches, and we've seen tremendous moves of God. But our church always seemed to be the church that, like, other churches that didn't believe that the move of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit were for today. Our church always seemed to be the one that if they had stuff that was going on that, like, they didn't want to handle or couldn't handle, would send them to the churches I went to. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I get that. Hey, I get that. There's, you know, this guy shows up and he says he's demon possessed. I probably want to ship him off too, but the point I'm making is I've been in churches where it seemed like there were people who knew how to handle spiritual stuff, supernatural stuff. And the outcome of that for me was always good. So I've grown up with a love and appreciation for the Holy Spirit and for the gifts of the Spirit. And I've also seen the gifts of the Spirit and moves of the Spirit pastored so that when things did get out of kilter, you just pastored people through that. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, we are people, and most of us think in some terms that, like, if a little is good, a whole lot would be better. And so sometimes things do get out of kilter and they do get in excess. One thing I know for sure, there is a gravitational pull of the Spirit. And there's a gravitational pull that takes place as we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gravitational pull would be kind of like if I have a rope hooked up to something. The gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit is not towards manifestations. It's not towards gifts. It's not towards tongues. But the manifestational pull, or the gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit, is towards one person and one person alone, and His name is Jesus. Now, I'm thankful for tongues and interpretation. I'm thankful for the prayer language. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit since I was a teenager, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to pray in the Spirit. But to truly be engaged in relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit is to be pulled towards the person of Jesus and relationship with Him. If the Holy Spirit is pulling you any other way, then I would suggest either it's not the Holy Spirit, or maybe, because people can get involved, because we are people, that maybe people have a wrong focus. Okay? Now, the Word also has a gravitational pull. And the gravitational pull of the Word is not towards religion or rules or comparing ourselves to other people. Guess where the gravitational pull of the Word is? It's towards Jesus. So we have to eliminate the thought that that group over there with the Holy Spirit and this group over here that believes that you know what, all that has passed away, so it's just the Word, the Word, the Word. We have to not compare ourselves with one another. We have to not condemn one another, but we have to understand that the Word is pulling towards Jesus and the Spirit is pulling towards Jesus. And if we've got half a brain, you would think we would get involved and pull the same direction towards Jesus. Amen. Man, that's almost to every head bowed. We're wrapped up, isn't it? But you see, the gravitational pull of the flesh has a gravitational pull, doesn't it? And the gravitational pull of the flesh is not towards serving God unless it's religious. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, and I'm included in this, so I'm not pointing a finger at you, but your flesh loves religion. Because the flesh, if the flesh is involved in something religious, it wants to know right where that line is so it can get right up to the line. You know what I'm saying? It can get right up to the line and then compare itself to the person who's like a half a foot over from you and you're closer to the line, so you're better. The flesh always wants to pull towards the world, towards things that are temporary, not to the eternal things of God. See, the flesh pulls most people away. Because how many of you know religion is taking people away from Jesus, not drawing them towards Jesus? Because our whole experience of God should be based on relationship with Jesus, not rules about things. Give me a better amen in the first. Okay, it's a gravitational pull. The Word and the Spirit are always going to pull towards Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not an attribute of God. The Holy Spirit is not an invisible force. The Holy Spirit is not an experience. The Holy Spirit is not the gifts. He's more than that. Just like the Word is more than ink and paper. The Word is a living person. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. And when we come together, we come to worship Him. We come to glorify Jesus. And you know what? That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit glorifies Jesus. And the Spirit gives us revelation about the Word, the living Word of God. So my relationship with God is all bound up in this relationship with this triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, reading from the Amplified Bible. So if it comes across a little loud, that's because it's amplified. Okay, so. Let's move along. Paul is writing to the Galatian church. You need some background on Galatians because it's a book. It's pretty intense. Paul is kind of upset, you know, with this church who's heard the gospel, the cross, and Jesus crucified was portrayed to them evidently, and then they're wanting to go back into religion and to performance, and he calls them stupid. at one point in time. You know, you stupid Galatians, come on, wake up. He doesn't even start with the usual blessings. I mean, he just gets right to it. Paul, anyway, he says to this church, look, I say walk and live habitually. You know what it means to do something habitually? You have an ingrained tendency that you go this way. Live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you certainly will not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. So it sounds to me like you're going to either go one of these two ways. The gravitational pull in your life will be either towards the flesh, which feeds on temporary stuff, doesn't have the patience to be in the Word. That's, you know, to the flesh, what we're doing tonight is boring. But those of you who've met Jesus, there's something about being together with the body of Christ. There's something about hearing the Word of God and being together praising Jesus. It is just awesome. Well, the flesh is not like that. The flesh is like, oh, come on. You know what I'm saying? How many of you remember going to church with somebody before you were born again? Come on, anybody remember that? Okay, the six of you know. It's like, come on. They said we were going to go eat fajitas after this service. That's the reason you went. But on the other hand, we can live as an ingrained pattern in our lives to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that if you live your life habitually responsive to the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, that there will be a gravitational pull on your life, and guess where that will be? It will be towards Jesus. You'll begin to draw other people like a magnetic field. You'll begin to draw people towards you. Next verse, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. My interaction with the Holy Spirit is an interaction with a person, not a force, not an attribute of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a holy person. His presence in our lives produces fruit. Yes. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get filled with the holy part of the Holy Spirit, your life does begin to change. Yes. His presence in our lives produces fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, yes, begin to be developed in our spirit. You, if you're born again, the Word says that you are one spirit with the Lord. I mean, that's huge right there. We could camp right there. Your spirit lives and can live separate from your body. You realize that? You, the real you is not the part of you we see. That's just the wrapper. That's just the tortilla around the fajita. It's just the wrapper. Listen, at some point in your life, your body and your spirit, the real you, the part of you that animates you, will separate. And at that moment, that very instant, your spirit, who you really are, will be present with the Lord. So it stands to reason that if we become one spirit with the Lord, that there's an inner resource to draw from God anything and everything we need, all the wisdom. You realize that the Spirit of God knows the entire Word. He like has it memorized. He was instrumental in writing it. And that Holy Spirit lives in you, and you're combined like one spirit with the Lord. I mean, that's phenomenal. So the Holy Spirit is a person. I want to go through several. This is not an exhaustive list. As a matter of fact, this is a bonus for those of you who have the app. Those of you who are online, I never remember, is it the red or the green you're supposed to look at when you talk to the online campus? The red. Online campus. If you'll click on the notes tab, you will have this extra material too. And for those of you who are in here, there's stuff that I cannot get in that's just too detailed that I put in the notes on the app, okay? Having said that, I'm just going to pull a few scripture. I'm not going to teach them in context, but I just want to point out and highlight in these verses the personality, the personhood of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because I want to prove to you that he's not an impersonal force.
Absolutely.
And I love this. I said I wasn't going to give context, but this is so awesome. When the gospel started to be preached, and all of a sudden the Judaizers, these people who were saying, no, you got to keep the law of Moses. I mean, that probably sounded right to them. It doesn't sound right to us at this day and age, because there's been a lot of revelation come in the past 2,000 years. But it was the first time somebody raised this issue. Is like, well, then you still have to be circumcised, right? And Paul is like, no, I mean, this is a big deal. So they end up sending everybody back to Jerusalem to talk to the bigwigs, okay? And they come to this point that they're going to write a letter, because they say, no, you don't have to keep the law. You don't have to be circumcised. And at this point, I love this. Watch this. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Okay, so that was their approach. It sounds a lot to me like the Holy Spirit is a person who was leading in cooperation with church leaders.
Yes.
Now, I've worked with some church leaders in the past that I wondered if they even knew who the Holy Spirit was. Okay, just saying. But it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit were an impersonal force or a power, you don't have this kind of reasoning and judgment. You got it? Okay, let's take a look at another one. 1 John 5:6. The Spirit is the one who testifies.
Yes.
Who testifies. The Spirit is one who testifies. I love this verse. There's another verse. I don't have it in this list. It'll be on the app, but that talks about how the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. He co-testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. I love that. Why? He's a person, and he's making decisions, and he's testifying. Next verse, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us in our weak, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought. So that's one of our weaknesses. Because why is it that we don't know how to pray for as we ought? Because a lot of times what we're praying is focused on what the devil's doing. Not on the reality of the word, not on the promise of God. A lot of people's prayer life is just complaining to God about what's wrong. Spoiler alert, he already knows. And he took care of it through Jesus' ministry. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how to pray like we ought to, but the Spirit, watch this, himself intercedes. The Spirit himself intercedes. Acts 13:2, you have these prophets and these teachers that are coming together. I think there's something significant. If you ever know, man, I don't have time for this, but I'm going here anyway. If you ever read through the book of Acts, it's amazing how involved the Holy Spirit is in the church, in the details of ministry, in day-to-day lives, not just with church leaders, but with the people. I mean, he's commanding. He's saying, hey, it seems good to me. He's forbidding. He's forbidding people to do this and encouraging them to do that. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I, the Holy Spirit, have called them to. You know, it sounds a lot to me. The Holy Spirit and what the Bible and the New Testament records about the person of the Holy Spirit is he sounds a lot like he's in command.
Yes.
It sounds a lot like he is in charge. And I'll tell you why that is. It's because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Man, we could just park right there. The Holy Spirit is God. Now watch, let me go through several scriptures, and I'm going to end up with an example about this whole gravitational pull in our lives in the sense of being led by the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. I like the fact that the Holy Spirit, who is God, is my helper. And he's going to be with you forever. Even he calls him the Spirit of Truth. The word truth here, we usually think of like the Bible, right? Like this is the truth. And it is. He is the Spirit of Truth. He actually inspired the writing of the word. But the Greek word truth is closer to our word for reality. In other words, if you need a reality check, you need to hear from the Holy Spirit, because he will tell you how it really is. And he's always going to bring you back to the word. Like he might let you complain about how mean and unjust your boss is, but then the reality comes on that you need to pray for those who are in authority, and the Holy Spirit will nudge you that way. And you don't want to do that because your flesh is having fun complaining, and the Holy Spirit's always drawing you back to Jesus, who the Holy Spirit will tell you what the reality is. Now, he'll tell you things that you don't know and that you can't know by any other means. He'll tell you that boss perhaps is having marital problems, or that the only problem that boss has is that he is unregenerate, not born again, and he needs Jesus in a bad way. And it always comes back around to reality, and the reality is what the word promises. Because there's a lot of stuff, and I'll just say me, that when I start to complain, I'm obviously letting my flesh pull me in a direction other than Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will give me a reality check to say, you know, you can have this pity party for another 5 years if you want to, but here's the reality. You're an overcomer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now we're talking about Jesus, excuse me, the Holy Spirit being God. And I want you to notice something here. He's going to ask for the Father to send another helper, the Spirit. Then Jesus says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't come on the day of Pentecost. How many of you know if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you?
Amen.
Amen. That's why you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Because the Spirit dwells in you. Because if he doesn't dwell in you, you're not born again, but you can be born again. Okay, so that was an aside. He's going to pray for the Father to give another helper, the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus says, this Spirit of Truth will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Okay, so you're following that? The Father is sending the Spirit, and Jesus shows his identity with the Holy Spirit, himself, and the Holy Spirit being God. I love this. The word helper in the Greek actually means one you call to your side in a battle. Man, you need some help. He's your advocate. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. He's your help in the battle. Don't try to fight this battle on your own. You don't have the strength for it. You don't have the knowledge. And there are forces beyond your ability to comprehend. That's why some stuff happens to you. It wasn't the unregenerate born again boss. It was the demonic power that's influencing him or her or whatever your situation is. Listen, we don't battle against flesh and blood. We're battling against principalities, against things, spiritual wickedness in high places, stuff that you cannot see, but guess who can? It's the Holy Spirit. And guess who's in command and in charge? The Holy Spirit. He's your helper in the day of battle. Okay, watch this. We're back to Galatians. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Man, this is powerful. You know, there was a long time in my life as a kid, because from a doctrinal standpoint, you know, traditional Pentecostal churches have a certain theology that basically says you're not exactly ever sure if you're born again. And the doctrinal side of it is so fouled up, it messed me up for a long time. It's because it's kind of like this. It was almost like your sins weren't forgiven until you asked for forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jesus going to the cross didn't like deal with all sin, past, present, and future. It was like only the ones you were personally dealing with God. I don't know if I'm communicating on that. The point was, I wasn't for sure if I was born again or not born again at any given point in time. And if I thought something bad or did something bad, then I was pretty much convinced I needed to answer the next altar call, because it was like, you can't have the assurance of your salvation, which is totally opposite of the other camp that's like, you can't lose it even if you never had it, kind of a thing. Well, that's clear as mud, I'm sure. I'll have that worked out by tomorrow afternoon. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. From the Lord who is the Spirit. What are you talking about, Pastor Mark? What I'm talking about is Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is God. Because Jesus identifies himself with the Spirit, the Lord who is the Spirit. Jesus is talking about days of persecution when people would be dragged before the court, and he's given this promise to his disciples. He said, it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of Jesus. Now, class, I know you're looking at the app for the extra material. It's in there. The Holy Spirit is God. And being God means that his voice has priority over all other voices. Because he is God, his will has priority over all wills. And because the Holy Spirit is God, his instruction, his guidance has superiority over all other instruction and all other guidance. So here's the choice. Daily, moment by moment, we have an opportunity to align ourselves with the gravitational pull of the Spirit and the Word, and we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit because He is a person and He is God, but He is still a person. We can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, or we can cooperate with the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to their spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Somewhere there has to be a decision made as to who you're going to follow and who's going to be in charge. If we live by the Spirit, Paul told the Galatian church, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I just need to move on. Check the app for the extra stuff. A supernatural lifestyle then is really about us cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Okay, when you read the book of Acts, there was cooperation and there was communication taking place between the Holy Spirit and leaders, the Holy Spirit and the church. I mean, he is affecting people in big time ways. Before the day of Pentecost, the apostles and the disciples are hiding out for fear of the Jews. The Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden there's boldness to be a witness, and the same group that was hiding out is now boldly proclaiming Jesus in the public square. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. It's just about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. It's like when the gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit is on your heart towards someone or doing something, it would be awesome if we yielded to that. Yeah. Romans 8:14 from the Passion Translation, and I believe this to be accurate because sons is what a lot of other translations say, but this is really a great definition of the word sons. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit does not always use words. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks German. The Holy Spirit speaks Portuguese. The Holy Spirit speaks Spanish. The Holy Spirit speaks your language. Those of you from Oklahoma, the Holy Spirit speaks your language. See, there's some people bearing witness that there's testimony. And I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit can speak Texan. Yeehaw. Aligning myself with the Holy Spirit through obedience. My obedience gives the freedom to the Holy Spirit to express his love for people. I mean, any manifestation of the Holy Spirit, any gift of the Holy Spirit that's in operation biblically, decently and in order, is going to make the person who receives that ministry feel loved by God. They're going to feel like their daddy just thinks they're the best thing since sliced bread. The best thing since fajitas. Obedience to the Spirit of God, to the promptings, to the pull of the Spirit of God, gives other people access to the benefits of salvation. Now, that didn't land right, because you know what? I'm telling you this, God makes his reign, which is a blessing from Scripture. He makes his rain fall on the just and the unjust. And when we share the love of God as the Holy Spirit directs us, people will experience the benefits of salvation. Okay, let me give you here in this last 45 minutes an example from Paul. I'm just kidding. German watch group, it was just a joke. Example of Paul and Timothy. Now, I want you to gain from this. We're just going to get a couple of scriptures here. So I'm going to move through this rapidly because y'all need a jolt of caffeine. I know we're going to move this rapidly, but I want to give you this example because sometimes people feel like if you're led by the Holy Spirit, like you can walk on water and everything you think, do, and say is just going to, everything's just going to line up. God's going to give you this detailed plan, you know, and I mean, he can do that, but most of life, most of reality is, we are feeling this thing out as we go. And I want to show you this biblically. So Paul and Timothy go through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been, watch this, forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, first of all, don't you think that the general rule would be, hey, preach the gospel, because we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if you're a legalist, that would be the end of the Holy Spirit's gravitational pull on your life, because you, God, you've got the principle. Forget the presence, you got the principle, and we're supposed to preach the gospel in the whole world. But how many of you know there might be a timing issue, and the Holy Spirit, who can see all things, might give you some insider information? And he did that with Paul. He, the Holy Spirit, a person, not an attribute, not some kind of a force. The Holy Spirit forbade them to do what there's a general principle to do, which is preach the gospel. He said, don't do that. So when they had come to Mysia, they, watch this, they attempted to go into Bithynia. Now this word doesn't mean they attempted like one time, like a lot of people are with obeying Christ. Well, it didn't work out, so I'm going back home. No, the sense of this word is they tried to get in here, it didn't work. They tried to get in here, it didn't work. They feel like this is the direction they're supposed to take, and they could not get an open door. So they attempted to go, but the Spirit, watch this, the Spirit of Jesus, that's who the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Kenneth West, one of my favorite translations, he says it like this. This is his translation now. By a trial and error method, they kept attempting to discover whether it was right to go into Bithynia. See, some of y'all feel like you missed it in your life and it's all over. It's done. Forget it. I want you to realize something. The passage, Romans chapter 8, it's answering a question Paul has, and I'll get back here, but he's got this question about how is it that like my flesh ends up dominating me and I end up doing the stuff I don't want to do, and the stuff I really want to do that I know is the Spirit leading me, I don't end up doing that. What's the answer to this whole thing? Okay? And everybody says Jesus, and that's true. But I want to point out that when you get to Romans chapter 7 and 8, he mentions the Spirit like 21 or 22 times. So it sounds like, yes, the answer is Jesus, but maybe it is the Spirit of Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit has something to do with you staying free from the habits and junk of the flesh. And maybe the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit is what actually keeps us free from religion. It's by being led by the Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus. So they've got this trial and error method going on. How many of you know learning how to flow with the gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit is trial and error? You're not going to hit it right on every time. But I can guarantee you this, if you feel like the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, you go for it, and then if it doesn't work out, you know one way that you heard that wasn't the Holy Ghost, and you just keep plugging away. So watch this. When Paul had seen the vision, because this is the Macedonian call, Paul has a vision or a dream, and there's a guy from Macedonia. They must have had a particular look or clothing or something, so he knows he's from Macedonia, one way or the other. So he has a dream and a vision. Acts chapter 16, verse 10 said, when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, watch this, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So what is he doing? It's like they're praying, they're feeling their way along. It's like God's giving us some general direction, but this is going to be news for some people, but they were using their brain. God has given that to us, and it's not supposed to be in charge, but apparently it is an instrumental factor in you figuring stuff out with the help of the Holy Spirit. So they concluded that God called them to preach the gospel there. Now watch this. So they get there, and on the Sabbath day, they went outside to the river where they supposed that there would be prayer. So what are they doing? They have a general direction, but on the specifics, they've got a trial and error method going here. We're going to obey God one way or the other. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. Boom, vision. Okay, well, we're going to go there, but we don't know exactly where we're going, so they went where they're supposed that there would be people. And they spoke to the women who had come together. Now, a lady named Lydia, who was an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, ends up getting born again. Her entire family gets born again, and they become the seed for what God's doing in that area. What's the point? The Holy Spirit is a person who we cooperate with. The Holy Spirit is God, so His word goes. But you and I have the choice, okay, to either walk after the flesh or after the Spirit. Now, listen real close and listen real fast because we're almost done. But you have to understand this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Okay, the word no there is absolute none. There's no condemnation. You get to the end, I believe it's around verse 26, and it talks about how nothing can separate us from God's love. So you learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit and set your mind on the things of the Spirit, or to get your mind off the stuff of the flesh, because how many of you know we've all messed up on this line? The good news is God knows that, and there's no condemnation, and nothing we did or didn't do is going to separate us from God's love. Okay? We can keep trying this until we get it down. Now, I believe that there's somebody that's listening to this message, and it could hold true for every campus that's receiving this message today. But somebody who's been discouraged and you've disqualified yourself because you miss God. I believe while I was preparing today that the Holy Spirit specifically said that there was somebody who God was using in a big way to pray for the sick. But it's like either sickness in your life or sickness in someone around you has made you feel like, well, if I really had that gift, if God was really using me, then why am I this? Or why does my friend, my spouse, whatever, why do they have it? Maybe they died, I don't know. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, there is no condemnation. I believe He's saying to you, it hasn't changed your standing with me. And I believe that the Lord is saying, you need to get back up on that horse and ride it for the glory of God. See, the measure of the gravitational pull of the Spirit of God in our lives is really proportional. Let me just read it. The measure of God's power in a believer's life depends on how much of it is lived in the gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit. In other words, how much you are drawn into that gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit by having relationship with Jesus, there should be a proportionate amount of power being displayed in our lives. Because we can have encounters with God, that's our choice. Or we can avoid encounters with God. But every time we listen into what the Spirit of God's saying and cooperate with Him, there should be a wake of people being blessed behind us. The choice is completely ours. And I conclude with this. It's where we started from Galatians chapter 5. I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then we're going to have impact. Then our cities are going to be changed. Then people are going to be blessed. That's when people really begin to live out this gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that we know we're not going to hit it 100%. But even when we haven't made the right conclusions and maybe we didn't follow You completely like we should, there's no condemnation in that. But we thank You, Father, the more we get pulled into that magnetic force, that gravitational pull, not only are we being drawn closer to Jesus, but other people will be drawn closer to Jesus. If you believe that, just shout amen. Amen. Amen.